Michael,
no?
What are you doing back there?
Hello, and welcome to Spooky Sips, where we put our love of horror movies into a podcast and sip some spirits along the way. I'm one of your hosts, Yvette, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Laura and Brianna.
Hello.
Hey. Okay, so we just went and watched the most recent of the Halloween saga, Halloween Ends, and we all got to go see it in theaters, which was a bit of a change of pace for us. It was kind of fun. Basically, I am not the first person to tell you about the Halloween saga movies, but this is supposedly going to be the last one, Halloween Ends. It takes place 4 years after her last encounter with the masked killer, Michael Myers. This is Lori we're talking about. She's living with her granddaughter, writing a memoir, living this really peaceful life. And no one has seen of Myers since. And so she's going to liberate herself from fear and just have this cute little life.
Or so it would seem.
And so basically her granddaughter meets this kid, Corey, and a lot of excitement happens. In the fallout.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. And the trailers definitely advertise this as like the final battle between Lori and Michael Myers, which I'm sure we'll have thoughts about, but that is what it is advertised as.
So I think that we should start off by talking about where our personal journey is with the Halloween saga. I myself have only seen the original. And that was it. So I went from original to this one. I haven't seen any of the in-betweens. How about you guys?
Same. Yeah, I only watched the first one. Before this, I had no idea that this was the 13th movie. Like, I knew that there were other movies out there, but I had not watched any of them. And I did watch Halloween, the original 1978 version, before going to see this one.
So I've seen the Halloween, the original one, you know, when I was younger, but then I also rewatched it before seeing this. And then I, you know, true to my nature, I started watching this Halloween 2 and fell asleep about 20 minutes into the movie, you know, to the soothing sounds of a horror movie. I just fell asleep on the couch. So those are the only movies I've seen, but I did watch because I know that this Halloween movie is kind of the final in, I know there's 13 movies total, but there's three that are kind of related. And so I watched a 3 minute and then a 4 minute kind of summary of the 2018 Halloween and then the 2021 Halloween to kind of get an idea of what we were going into.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah.
Okay. Which I think I didn't. I just went in blind.
And
I think you needed seen the original in years. Like I watched it years ago, but I hadn't seen it in a while. So like, I was kind of unsure going in if I was going to be able to keep up, especially with the way that the movie starts. I was like, wow, I have no idea what this is about. But like, I think that's because it had its own storyline.
Okay. And I do have kind of a breakdown of all of the Halloween movies. Oh. Instead of this time in history, I'm doing that because there's 13 of them. So we can dive into that when we want.
So do you feel like, Brianna, you were able to follow what was going on in the movie, having not seen anything other than the first one?
I do, because they did like some flashback scenes. And I think they did that for people like me, where they would be like, well, when my mom died, and then there would be like a flashback scene. So it's kind of like I got to see what happened. So I didn't feel too out of the loop. I basically figured a whole bunch of people have died and been affected, and you know, the whole town being upset by it made sense. So me not seeing the others didn't really impact.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's only so much depth you can go into.
Yeah.
With this movie. So, I mean, I think I was able to keep afloat.
Oh my God. All right. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. If you guys feel at all like the critics feel, I'm going to assume that maybe this wasn't your favorite. So maybe we should start with, what did you like about this movie?
Oh, okay. What did I like?
Okay. So I liked that they did, and I don't know if the other Halloweens have done this, but I like that they did some homage to the 1978 one. Like, I feel like they, even just walking through the town, it kind of had a similar vibe to the original Halloween. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. And, I love the music of Halloween.
Yeah.
So of the original one, and they brought that back into this one. I feel like the music can make a horror movie. And the music in Halloween is just phenomenal.
I agree. I liked that. And I liked the pacing of the second part of the movie. Like the first half of the movie, I was getting pretty bored. I was like, okay, what is this movie? But I liked the pacing of the second part, and I liked the gore. Like, the gore was pretty respectable for the most part in this. Like, you know, there were a few scenes that were pretty like, so I mean, I appreciated that.
The score was amazing. That was John Carpenter from the original Halloween movie. He's still doing it. He does an amazing job. That's like not shocking at all that was amazing. Mm-hmm. I do think for me, I absolutely loved the first 15 minutes of the movie. The cold open where we meet our male babysitter, Corey, who is taking care of Jeremy. And I'm trying to decide how much I should describe it. Basically, well,
I say go for it.
We gave full warning. If you haven't watched the movie, go watch it. Pause.
That is true. We will be talking. There's 100% going to be spoilers.
Yep.
The movie starts. We meet 21-year-old Corey, our babysitter, taking care of Jeremy. They set it up. They remind you it's Halloween. Jeremy's scared of Michael Myers coming out. They set it all up for you to be like, hey, this is kind of spooky. The mom lets Corey know that, you know, like Jeremy's been having nightmares, and he even like talks in his sleep and he's hearing voices. Like, they set it up to be like, oh, okay, like this is kind of spooky. There's some weirds happening. And then when Corey walks away, you hear like a lamp break or something, and he runs out. He can't see Jeremy. He runs through the house, goes up into the attic. Jeremy's like making fun of him almost like through the door, saying like, Michael Myers is coming to get you. So he's pounding on the door, kicking the door to try to like get it down. And right as Jeremy's parents are walking in, Corey kicks the door, hitting Jeremy, who falls three stories down into the entryway in front of his parents, dying on impact.
And like gruesomely dying, like snapping his neck, bleeding out.
You see his head bounce as he crashes on. I audibly gasped. Like,
yes.
I was,
oh, yes. And was, everyone in our theater did too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was, oh my gosh.
I have to say, yeah, I audibly gasped. And I think, honestly, that was my favorite part of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, it took me by surprise. It was shocking. Mm-hmm. It was scary. It was like jarring.
Oh,
yeah. No, favorite part of the movie. They had me. And then you get to like the little like intro credit scene. They go back to the original Halloween font. They make it blue. You get the pumpkins that are transforming into different kind of pumpkins. And then the very last one, they zoom in on it, and then it just cracks in half, like revealing the inside to make it so just like gory.
It was like a cracked open skull, kind of like Jeremy. Yes. Like,
Exactly. So it's like, okay, yes, again, I'm still in it. And then you get Lori kind of like telling you what's been happening in the town, like as she's writing her memoir. And then you see kind of the, I don't know, the trauma, the anxiety, the darkness that has like fallen upon the town. You see the couple who were shot in the Jeep and a person who had been hanged. And it's like, okay, yeah, the town is not in a good place. This is depressing. This is bad. Right. And then honestly, you could just stop the movie after that, because that was the first 15 minutes of the movie were
Could have been a short film.
Yeah.
It could have been
classic. Yeah. And then it got boring for a while. And then it got a bit better for the end part of the movie. But yeah, the middle there was, I honestly don't know what happened.
Something missing in the middle, and it's hard to put my finger on it, but like originality wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't. Yeah. Because, you know, it's one thing if it's like poorly written or poorly acted, and it wasn't. Like, it was well done, but there was just this certain quality missing. I don't know.
Where's Michael Myers?
That might have been part of it.
It's like when your favorite TV shows go on past eight seasons. It's mm-hmm. never good.
No.
Just once you've had a good thing, just mm-hmm. stop.
Just
stop trying to just make money off of it. And I think that's what it is. It's the 13th movie.
Yeah.
So that's what's missing is that just been done.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I guess, let's talk about the middle, the middle section of the movie, which in my notes, I labeled the love story / Corey is the new Michael ? Yeah. I think that was basically half the movie.
It was. I mean, they were really building us up for him becoming Michael.
That's why I don't think this is the final one.
Yeah.
And maybe we should talk about that toward the end of the podcast. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I absolutely don't think this is done because they are setting it up because we did not see. I know that it seemed like he died, but we did not actually see his lifeless body being carried away. So he absolutely is coming.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess apparently for this to be the 13th movie is a pretty common
this would not be the first time we saw Michael Myers die.
Okay. Right. Got it.
Yeah. So I think the actual Michael Myers, yes, I think is probably dead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the new guy is coming back.
Oh, yeah. What did you guys think about this love story between Allison and Corey?
It would have been so much better if Allison would have joined in.
Oh,
massacres. Yeah. Like, I was kind of hoping that she was going to, be little Michelle Myers. Like, I was kind of hoping that was going to happen.
100%. That is where I thought it was going. Yeah.
And I was disappointed. So mm-hmm. that's where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I think for me, I wasn't sure if I was missing something, like if Corey had been in a previous one. If there had been a history there that I was missing, because I kept feeling like, I don't know, it just seemed a bit forced or I don't know. I didn't care about it. But then I thought, oh, maybe that's because I missed something in a previous movie, but I apparently not.
So. No, I think it was definitely forced at the beginning. Like their chemistry was really weird. The way they interacted was awkward. It was weird. It felt very, very forced.
And not even good weird.
No, not even they're so awkward. It's kind of cute.
Right. Right.
But, let's be real. It was the whole, I'm going to fix him.
Right.
Energy that kept them mm-hmm. together.
mm-hmm.
I think there's an amazing line where they're on the rooftop of the radio station and Corey turns to her and says something along the lines of, "Are you afraid you don't have enough bandages to heal me?"
Oh, my. No. It's too cheesy.
I died. I was laughing.
It's too much.
Yeah.
No, it is. And I think that it didn't help that the dynamic between Jamie Lee Curtis and mm-hmm. her granddaughter was also forced. So mm-hmm. although this is separate than the love story, there were two main relationships that felt very cheesy and forced. And so it's bad enough that their relationship felt like that. But then, you go and have her be with her grandma and it's this weird, look at how great and, feng shui we are in our life. And although, I don't know, it felt, I had a hard time with it.
Maybe it's like that though, because they've had so many people in their life die. Maybe they're just awkward. I mean, it's hard to have a normal relationship with someone when the girls, what's her name?
Allison.
When Allison's, both of her parents have died
and all of her friends are dead.
That was Lori's daughter. So maybe they're just not capable of having a typical relationship at this point.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit, but okay.
Here's a psychologist in me coming out. So
one character I really wanted to talk about though is Corey's mom. I had why is she the way that she is? And what is Corey's mom?
There is a lot there. That moment when she kisses him on the mouth. And I was oh no. Oh, that's it. That's what it is. And
Laura, seeing your face, do you not remember the scene?
Did I go to the bathroom at that point?
I wrote it down as one of my favorite.
It was very brief. Like yeah. she yelled at him. He came home after being out all night.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and she was very mad and she, I think, slapped him. Right. And then she like leans in and plants a big wet one.
Okay. This was one. This was one of two times that I laughed in the theater. And so I wrote it down because it was just, it was so absurd. Corey gets home, sees mom, and she yells, "I can smell her on you," yes. talking about oh, Allison.
I do remember that.
"She's trying to take you away from me, isn't she? That's where you go every night. Well, I say go. Go right now. Get out of my house." Then she pauses, slaps him, looks remorseful, and says, "Oh, no, no, no." Takes him, kisses him on the lips. Camera pans to dad, who then says, "I hope you find love." And I burst out laughing.
The thing with the dad made me so I was like, "Are you joking? Like,
I hope you find love." How was that?
I don't know where I was for that part of the movie. I mean, I remember some of that, but maybe I've just blocked it out at this point. Oh,
I mean, honestly, that would be fair. What is it? What is it called when it's with the mom?
Oedipus complex.
Oh yeah, I was like, "Hello, Oedipus." Like, yes. Oh, hot damn! Like,
they yeah, kind of like to make her that way.
Kind of like going for like that psycho vibe,
which
of,
really
like,
would
you know,
though, right? Bates. Like that would give a lot of understanding into the mind of Corey, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I love. Where was she from? Like, why was she from Jersey? You know, the way she
right. Right. Like, who is this woman? Who is this story? Yeah. Yeah.
She's my favorite, at least. My other favorite quote was also from her when he's texting Allison and she takes his plate away and says, "Boys who keep secrets don't get custard for dessert."
Oh, yeah. I remember yes. that part.
Like, okay. So he has mommy issues. So that would like lead to his killer story. I mean, that's fair. Like, I can see why they built that in. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That gives a lot of rhyme and reason, you know?
Oh man.
Oh yeah. In my notes, I literally wrote, "What is Corey's mom?" Question
what, mark. What is that? What is that?
What is that? Like,
there's too much going on there and they just don't explain it. And honestly, I'm kind of happy about it. Let's just let that be what it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think this weird moment is a really good time to pause and tell you what we're sipping on here in tonight's episode of Spooky Sips, because we're going to need to sip some more to keep talking about this.
Oh, yeah,
right? Absolutely.
So everyone, lift your glass.
And I was sipping while watching this movie because yes, you need it.
So were we.
So we did sneak a little bit of wine into the theater. So
We did.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so. I think, Yvette, you chose our drink for tonight's movie. So what are we sipping on?
Yeah. So I did watch the original Halloween 1978 to prepare for it. And unfortunately, the only thing that they drank, because they were all just, you know, teenagers, was Budweiser.
They drank so much of it, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum, but I was not about to pick Budweiser as our drink of choice. So a good blend. A good blend, I thought, would be pumpkin beer, because we gotta, let's just be basic.
On this Halloween night, I think
there's always pumpkins.
Beer,
yes,
jack-o'-lanterns.
Perfect.
Yes.
Is a perfect choice.
Yeah. Mm. So I went and got something called the Forbidden Pumpkin. It's an IPA milkshake style beer. It is delicious. Normally, I hate IPAs, but you can actually taste like vanilla and like some like nice like spices in this one. So ooh, I'm a fan.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought like milkshake style with an IPA, maybe with a stout, but right? not the IPA. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Now, are either of you drinking your beer with a little whipped cream on the top?
I yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is if I was going to say readers. Listeners.
Maybe the transcript.
Viewers.
Yeah, you could be a reader, listeners, yeah. Sippers. Viewers, sippers. If you're out there and have not tried this and you're thinking, wow, that's gross. No, just trust us for once.
It's good.
It's very good. You take your pumpkin beer and you put a little whipped cream on top.
Mm-hmm. I had never seen that until I moved to Utah. And then in Utah, especially during Oktoberfest, that is the thing to do. Yep. You get a big stein of pumpkin beer and you put whipped cream on it.
It's delicious.
Yep. So I actually have
amazing
two different types of pumpkin beer. So the first pumpkin beer I have is Red Rock, which is again a local Utah brewery, but it's pumpkin chocolate chip. So
what?
Yeah, it's so it's a stout one, and that was very delicious with the whipped cream.
Oh.
But then I also, because I wasn't sure how much of that I would want to drink, I also got a Keto's, which is another Utah. That's Utah, right?
Yeah.
Another Utah brewery. Mm-hmm. And it is a pumpkin amber ale, which is also good, but I think I prefer the pumpkin chocolate chip because it's like a milkshake.
Oh, that's yummy. That sounds yummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just doing the classic Wasatch Brewery, another Utah one. And it's just their good old pumpkin. I think it's an amber ale. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just their pumpkin. It's delicious.
Yeah. Tis the season. I almost chose Epic, which again is a Utah brewery, but I found it here in Oregon. So, you know, tis the season. Someone out there's got to be selling some pumpkin beer.
Yeah, just drink your pumpkin beer, put some whipped cream on it. Just be basic. It's fine.
Yeah. Enjoy your most basic moment with us. It's a safe space.
Yeah.
You can be basic with us.
Delicious. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, I guess would this be a good time to talk about the kills in this movie? Because that was another pleasure of mine.
I mean, we already talked about the first most epic one with Jeremy.
That was my favorite.
He was out. Any
movie that starts by killing off a kid.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is going to be good.
This is going to be good. You got to respect it, which again, I think set them up better than what we ended up getting, but.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So what was our next one? I'm trying.
So I have all the kills. So after that, we have like the flashback, which there's not really much to talk about in those. So I'm going to skip those. The next you have, I don't think we get his name, but it's the homeless man that Corey comes into,
like in the pipe. I mean, now that was
somewhat of a moment of self-defense, because wasn't it the homeless man that brandished the knife to him first?
Yeah, and then said that he was Michael Myers.
Yeah, he was like, I'm Michael Myers, and
because that dude had pretended to be earlier. Yeah,
yeah, because when they're fighting and we hear the first shiv of the gun, like we don't know who stabbed who.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah. So that one was like, maybe it was an accident, right? Like when I saw that one, I was like, okay, yeah, that's self-defense accident. Right. Not really a murder, but like, he was killed then. Mm-hmm. And I guess going right before this, I don't know if we've talked about when Corey meets Michael.
Yes. No, we haven't. That was, I mean, I had a feeling that Michael was in that thing because I feel like we had seen it. It's like an underground water tunnel. I don't really know.
Was it a sewer? What is a sewer?
Like a sewer thing. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what those
things. I don't know. Some sort of runoff sewer. It's a big hole in the ground.
I don't know.
Ninja turtles live down there. I don't know.
Yes.
Fine. Just this thing in the ground. And so I had a feeling that that's where he was going to be, but I loved that scene of when he gets pulled, you know, feet first into it. And we just see the darkness consume him.
Because I do have to say, until that moment, I did not predict that Corey was going to become this evil guy. Oh. I don't know. Maybe I was just checked out, but I didn't see that coming.
Okay. Really?
Interesting. Oh.
Okay. Did you, Brianna?
From the moment that he was yelling at Jeremy, not even the moment he kicked the door in before, like when he was yelling, I was like, oh, uh-oh.
I think I was checked out for this movie, ladies. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't know where I was, but.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So that was the first one, which again, it's like not really a murder, more of like self-defense, almost an accident. After that, though, we get Doug, Alice's ex-boyfriend, 40-year-old cop, which
someone explained that
relationship to me.
Yeah, no, thank you.
He looked 40, right?
He deserved it. No,
she's supposed to be like 20 something.
Yeah,
he looked gross. Young.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, he was a jerk. So see you later, Doug.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say.
Yeah. So for that one, Corey, like, I don't know, baits him into following him to the sewer thing. Right. Yeah. I just remember he gets on his motorcycle and he's like chasing him in a car. And yeah. then he somehow gets him to go in to the sewer.
Yeah, I don't remember. Because I went to the bathroom at this point and I came back and I saw that they were stabbing Doug. And I was like, oh, I figured that would have been his first, right. you know, so.
That's the thing with watching them in theaters, I guess. So yeah, Corey leads him there somehow to like chase after him. Cause this is after they have some weird encounter at the diner where they like almost fight. So it's kind of like, oh, they're about to get into it, but he lures him there into the sewer and Corey asks for Michael's help almost saying like, show me how, like, teach me how to do this.
Like a mentor.
Yeah, like he's the apprentice. Like an
apprentice. Yeah, so they kind of kill him together, really. Boys. And you see Michael, the way I interpreted it at least, is like, I felt like Michael seemed stronger. Like he kind of like stood up a little straighter, seemed to have kind of like gotten his mojo back.
He's found a new purpose in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the next one we get. After that, we get what I thought was also kind of a funny scene. Allison's coworkers, Dr. Mathis and Deb.
I love Deb.
What a hussy.
So much. What a woman.
Your house looks so rich.
You're so rich.
So rich.
Yeah. Oh, I did kind of enjoy that one.
I love that moment when Allison finally snaps at her and she's like, do you just ever shut up? And instead of getting upset, she's like, oh my God, I know, right? Like,
she's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good, okay. See, that was where I was like, okay, finally, like that was the moment that I was excited again to be watching this movie. Like, I feel like I was starting to zone out. Like I got up, I went to the bathroom. I was trying to like get myself back together, like, yeah. And I feel like this scene finally did it, like when they turn the lights on and Corey is wearing the scarecrow mask and just stabbing the guts out of this guy, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah,
loved it.
But beautiful house that those murders happened in, right? So rich. I
know. So rich.
I loved that when Deb was looking for Dr. Mathis, she calls him that. Doctor. Yes.
Dr. Mathis, are you out here?
Dr. Mathis?
I should have become a doctor.
I should have become a doctor.
Dr. Mathis.
Okay, oh, go ahead.
I loved her kill. Like,
yeah.
Loved that moment of her just being stuck to the painting. Like, classic. That was I was like, okay, that's why we're watching this movie. Here we go.
And that's for sure a nod to the original, right? Because that happened in the original where I forget who Michael Myers stabs.
Yeah. It was a boyfriend.
I think it was.
Yeah. But like just stabs him so hard. Now, first of all, I think just the physics of that, I'm not sure actually would
work. Don't think about it.
I mean, Deb was pretty tiny. So for her, maybe. But even then.
It was a small knife. Like, would that really hold up a
person? By the time you get through the entire body.
Yeah. He has superhuman strength.
That would
got an extra in there.
Be left. You know? Like.
But I still appreciated the sentiment of it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, for this one, I think this was another moment where I laughed in the theater. Because this was so Michael Myers kills Deb. So you see Corey and Michael Myers doing this whole like murder. And then it cuts to Corey driving his motorcycle and like a hand touching his face. Did anyone else think it was going to be Michael Myers in the backseat? Yes.
And he puts his finger in his mouth. And I 100% thought that it was Michael Myers that was riding on the back of his motorcycle.
This movie's so taking a weird turn.
I was like, Ace, romantic.
Okay, I'm happy you expected it too. Because I was like, Michael?
Michael?
No?
What are you doing back there?
Yeah, I guess at some point he picked up Allison to everyone's disappointment. Yeah. It was her in the back of the motorcycle. But that was just a weird cut.
That was a really weird cut because I thought the exact same thing.
Well, it's they only show the fingers.
Yes.
Like they as like, oh look, it someone's was like behind intentional. Him.
Because you really thought it was going to be Michael that was with him.
Maybe it was intentional. Maybe
it was honestly, now I'm wondering if it was.
Well done. If so, well done. So yeah, that was a good one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's see. Who else was next? So after Dr. and Deb, we get to what's actually the best part. We get the local marching band bullies.
Yes. More children, because really they were only like seniors, so they were still
they were annoying probably. But yeah, I guess they were also young.
You know, children.
So yeah, we get Corey, who again to see lures them to like his job at the
like
the literal dump,
the dump. Yeah,
like the car dump. Shop, yeah, the chop shop,
and then shit gets real.
I was kind of hoping he would spare the one girl with the big hair.
Margo?
Yeah, she tried to like not, and I'm almost wondering like if that's why he didn't kill her till the very end.
Hers there was a part rough. Of me that was like, she the one that got run over? The fence was on top of her and she's like squished under the fence.
That didn't seem like a sympathetic one.
No, because I was almost wondering if like there was this moment of symbolism where like she was a bystander and she just watched everything. So he made her do the same in death, like be the last one.
That's true. Because
if so, that would be pretty cool. That was kind of what I had thought of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Let's break it down then. So they're all in the dump where Corey works. And they're all like outside of the car, kind of like looking for him. They found his like motorcycles. So they're kind of like screaming his name, trying to find him. And then Terry, one of the guys, calls over to Billy to like move the car. Cause I guess they want to like tow his motorcycle, take it somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Billy doesn't respond.
Billy, what are you doing?
Of course, his name is Billy.
Yeah.
Of
course. That's because Billy's dead.
Yes. Billy is dead. He's been stabbed in the eye.
Stake right through the eye.
Gruesome.
Which is where all of this gets started. So now they're all freaking out. Corey runs over the fence that Stacy, I think is what Stacy and Margo have jumped over, crashes the truck in, has Margo under the fence, still alive under the truck.
Yeah, but squished real good.
But squished.
Yeah.
Terry's there talking to her friend, which like I like props, I guess, for trying to stick by your friend, but like maybe run.
No, your friend is dead either way. Just get out of there.
I'd be out of there. Like nobody's maybe
I'm not stopping for anyone.
No, I mean, I would stop for you too.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I would stop real quick. You'd be like,
loved you. Sorry. Bye.
Love you. I'll remember you. I thought that was one of those, like, okay, they're just being dumb because she's like sticking, talking to her friend, being like, I'm going to help you as Corey's getting out of the car to whack her in the head with something. I don't know the name.
I don't know what he got her with. I think it was a tool. Yeah.
She gets hit in the head and I think just dies from that. Then we see, Terry runs to Ron, who's Corey's dad.
Yes. Which, props, because in a horror movie, they don't always get believed. And I wasn't sure where the dad was going to go. Like, is the dad going to believe him? Or is he going to be like, get off my property, kid?
Yeah, you never know. I 100% thought he wasn't going to hear. Because he's, like, watching, like, an action movie or something. Right. I thought he just, like, it was going to be silent for the moment he paused. And then it was going to keep going. I didn't expect that either. Mm-hmm. But Ron has guns. So he has a gun. He gives one to Terry. He runs outside, realizes it's his son who's committing all of these murders. So as Terry like sets up to shoot, Ron jumps in the way to stop him. So Ron is now dead, getting shot in the head. And then finally we have Terry, who's the last of the guys in this group. And this one's brutal.
Yeah, this one is brutal.
This one's real brutal. He's talking to Margot, which again, why are you all talking this much?
I know.
Because, you know.
Just run.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Corey whacks him in the head with the gun. I think he like takes it and like hits him with it. And then blow torches his head through his mouth.
Yeah, through his mouth. Which like, see, like, I just can't even.
Yeah. Hopefully fathom. You die quick at that point. So
oh
you
my gosh. Honestly,
not as quick as you would need to, I don't think. Like,
yeah. You see it coming out through his cheeks.
Yeah.
In the
And then he curb stomps Margot and they're done.
That one was pretty rough. I mean, you just see her head cave in.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, lots of gore and just it. I just feel like it makes you feel how fragile the human skeleton system and body is. Like we're real squishy, actually.
We're so squishy.
We're real squishy.
And crunchy. We're
so squishy.
So I think this is when the movie picked up again. It was like, okay, I'm interested now. I'm interested now. So then Corey continues on his rampage. He decides to visit mom. Because for obvious reasons that we've already talked about, there's clearly a messed up relationship there with his
mom. He didn't get his custard.
Yeah.
He's very upset about it.
We don't really see this one. You kind of assume she was stabbed. I think they show like the knife and then that's it. It kind of cuts away. So you don't really see much. You can assume that he killed his mom.
Right. It's pretty quick and dirty and out of there.
And then he moves on to the radio station.
Yeah. Oh, this moment was one where you could hear audible like throughout the theater. Like it was pretty gross.
Yeah. So first he kills the receptionist, which you only see kind of like in the background through like the little window. You see her like getting stabbed. But then we get Willie the DJ.
We all knew this was gonna happen.
After their
like fight when they were on the tower. Like we knew. But I mean, honestly, my memory of it was that it happened so fast. Like, I just remember him taking the back of his head and just smashing it into the desk, like the DJ desk that he was at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And his jaw like falls, like breaks and falls off of his face. And the receptionist had been making these little ghosts with scissors. Like a little chain of ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
So Corey is holding a pair of scissors. And so after bashing the DJ's head in, he holds his head back and his jaw is just slack and hanging there and just takes his tongue and just cuts it
right off
and like then, throws it to the side and it perfectly falls on the turntable.
On the record player.
Did I just call it a turntable?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 years old.
And that to me, that was
sorry, the other listeners. If you're under the age of 100, I meant record player.
And then the disc jockey was
on the sound box or what? What were they? I don't know.
Anyways, sorry. Yes, throws it onto the turntable.
Oh, it was so gross.
The little thing just keeps grabbing it and just
the little needle would just like keep popping up when it gets to it. It just reminds you of just like a piece of meat or something. Like
I mean, because it is.
I couldn't not just constantly feel my
own tongue felt huge.
Oh yeah.
After watching that. Like so bad.
Agreed.
So gross. So gross.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I mean, we only have two deaths after this.
Oh.
So we're kind of at the grand finale.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember the next one.
So the next one is Corey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. He breaks into Lori's house, and you get this setup of Lori preparing to complete suicide, calls into the police saying, like, I'd like to report a suicide. Here's the address. So the police would come on their way. You hear the gunshot thinking,
and you see splatter.
It just happened. You see splatter. And then open the door. She shot the pumpkin. She's alive, pointing the gun at Corey because she knew he was there the whole time.
And she was framing that it was him that killed himself the entire time. She was never going to, like, that was what it was the whole time, which I thought was a really badass moment, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's a really badass character. I really respect her. She woman is. Power. I do
too.
I love it.
I do too. Yeah. Yes. So, Jamie Lee Curtis, if you're listening to this.
Jamie Lee Curtis, we love you.
We love you. We think you're amazing.
You were great in this.
If you would like to guest star at any time, we'll open call. Any episode up. You just call us.
Phone number is...
is 555.
So yes. Then they kind of get into a fight. I'm honestly kind of forgetting their fight because it was quick. It was not important.
No, really, it's not. Movie, it was unfortunately.
We forgot to talk about. Well, we can go back to it. At this point, he has Michael Myers' mask.
Oh, yes, right.
So he broke in while wearing Michael Myers' mask. They kind of fight. She realizes it's him. And then he says something along the lines of like, oh, if I can't have Allison, no one can. And then stabs himself.
Because she shot him once.
Yes.
Right? Like he had a gunshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was already hurt. But then he stabs himself. And then you get the nice movie timing where for whatever reason, Lori decides to take the knife out. Right as Allison is walking in.
Like, don't touch the body. If you did not kill someone, listen, viewers, if you did not do anything to it, don't touch the body. Don't ever touch the body.
Yeah. Also, I'm no medical expert, but like, I think leaving it out would make everything worse. So, you know, just leave it in.
Yes, just don't, just walk away. Just
walk away.
Don't touch anything. Knock it off.
So Allison is like, oh my God, you killed my goth boyfriend. I'm leaving for whatever reason. Cause that makes sense.
Right.
gonna tripe away now. But then as everything's calming down,
finally
you hear
finish line
footsteps. Someone else is in the house and it's Michael Myers who's here to pick up his mask and do what this movie said it was going to do and give us the final send off.
Yes. Yes.
And it was pretty worthy.
Yeah. His death is the one I really want to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it.
Cause I would say that it was respectable. Like their fight was a respectable fight, especially considering that these are two older folks at this point and they are kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I had mad props for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had some really good scenes that had me like looking away. The knitting needle.
Oh no. The minute she saw the knitting needle, I was like, nope, absolutely not. Nope.
Which again, call back to the first one.
Yes. Call back to the first one, which I totally loved. And I just love that they just kind of like duked it out and it was really, really good.
Yeah, they had some great scenes. The knitting needle that I guess, it's kind of a callback because in the first one, she stabs him.
Right.
But in this one, he then gets the needle and like starts like sticking it through her ear.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I like looked away.
Oh, no, I had to like look through my fingers at that
point. Garbage disposal.
Oh,
biggest fear.
No.
I cannot.
I was freaking out. I was freaking out.
We were both. We were freaking out at that point because I was like, no, this is too much.
So did he actually die? Was it out in the street?
He did die in the house.
Where did he end up?
So
it was in the house. Okay.
She got him. And he was dead because she slit his throat. She slit his wrist.
Oh, that okay.
There
was
other stab.
Threw a fridge on him.
Allison came back at this point.
Yeah,
they made sure the job was done.
Oh yeah, she was like checking his pulse. So like you know.
But this was the part that I wondered if I finally had my moment where I was like, okay, I've missed something because the freaking town parade. Was the weirdest. That was so uncomfortably what is happening.
Okay. Yes.
I couldn't handle it.
So here's the thing. We've just watched and talked about all of these horrific, brutal killings and murders. And I was the most unsettled by the fact that they tied his body up to a car and paraded him around. Yes. I was so like, weird. to the hood or the roof of the car. I was like, this is really upsetting.
And just that everyone is like parading about. And I was like, yeah. What is actually happening?
Yeah.
That was weird. And I think it was partially like in the last two movies, the whole town, you got kind of that like herd mentality of everyone trying to like come get Michael Myers. But yes, it was weird.
It was weird. I was like, this has gone too far.
Well, and yeah. Then I almost had this moment where she's putting him through the crusher or whatever.
Oh, you know, yeah. That. Yeah. So the town parade leads back to the dump.
And they put him through this crusher thing. And I almost had this moment where I was like, is he like going to grab her ankle? Or something,
oh,
and like
drag
take
her
down
ew,
with him.
Yeah.
Like that didn't mm-hmm. happen, but I
and
thought
that,
maybe it
that
would.
That scene was brutal too. Just oh, that was real. Again, we're very squishy and grungy. Yes. As just
the effects for that were amazing. Yes. Whatever yeah. they did, it looked so good.
So we know officially for sure. Michael Myers is not coming back, but yes, I do think that Corey is not officially dead and he will come back at some point.
I think they're going to try to like, what's the word I'm looking for? Multiple drinks in. What am I trying to say?
Rebrand?
No, yes, but even more biblical.
Resurrect?
Yes, resurrect. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what did they do to Jesus? Resurrect.
Re-life.
They're going to re-life Michael Myers.
Which, okay, I don't know if we want to get into the religious thing too much, but... I saw this with Matt, and his first thing was like, they're doing the Jesus thing when she stabs both of hands onto the wood table.
I thought the same thing with like,
and
the
then
stigmata.
They take it. Yes. Yeah. And then the whole, even like the town,
like burying him on his cross,
his car yes. as, yeah,
it was 100% a biblical moment.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This was the biblical death of
readers.
Michael
this
Myers.
Is a really good I'm going to keep calling them readers, okay? That's what they are to me.
I like that they were viewers in a different one.
They're my readers.
They've never been listeners at this
so
point.
So readers, but, if yeah. you're out there, it's a good time to let you know for an insider scoop that Laura and I are sisters and our father is a priest. So we like a good biblical moment.
And our brother is Yvette's husband.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when he picked up on that biblical moment, I was proud of him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm good also very impressed that you kids. Got him to, I'm very impressed that you got him to go to a scary movie because we tortured him as a younger.
Well, we yes. went to a 2:15 showing.
That's what
a theater that served alcohol.
Nice. Classic.
We just snuck in our alcohol.
Yeah.
As you have to do in Utah. I mean, no, we didn't.
So yeah, like I'm not sure what that was all about, but it was very weird. It was a very weird thing to have them do, but whatever. If it brings the town solace, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
So I guess this would be a good time to talk about alternate endings. Because this film showed at one of the festivals, which name I'm forgetting, like a couple days before it was released. And so the director, David Gordon Green, did an interview at some point where he said like, oh, I just rewrote the end of the movie. So the two alternates were one, Laurie, Jamie Lee Curtis's character dies. Okay. Kind of makes sense.
Which I was wondering if that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then two, Corey survives and doesn't die at the end of the movie.
Mm. Which it could still be.
I'm honestly, you. We did not see them take away his body.
We didn't.
We did not see him go in a hearse.
Yeah.
We did not.
Which honestly, I would have been so down with. I was.
Yeah.
I kind of. Here's my wish for an ending of this movie. Was one, I absolutely hate that this movie told you instead of showed you so much.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the movie, you have Laurie narrating to you where, you know, it's like, oh, and evil is not actually dead because evil can take a new shape and blah. And it's like, okay, yeah, like we get it.
That's yeah, like we got
Myers
it.
Is dead, but evil is still alive. Like you don't have to tell me.
We got
instead
it.
Of
Thank
doing
you.
That, I wish Corey would have been alive.
Yeah.
And we would have seen him and honestly, maybe with Allison
yes.
drive away to a new town.
Yes.
That's
I agree.
I get it that it's a darker, not a satisfying ending.
Right.
But I was really hoping that that's where they were going with it, because it would have gotten the idea across, which is, yes, you can't just kill evil. Like, right. That's not how it works. It's going to keep going. And I think that would have been a way better way of showing, instead of like having her narrate the point of the movie.
I completely agree with that analysis.
I agree.
Yep.
Yep. So I had a question, because we were talking about all the kills. Do we know how many people have been killed by Michael Myers in all of the movies? Is that a number we possibly
know? But I'm sure that we could figure it out.
Yeah. I want to say it's 100 and something.
Okay.
Total.
Because like in the first movie, really, it seems so dramatic at the time, but he really only killed 3 people, right?
It's pretty low for the first one.
Yeah.
And then Halloween Kills, which was the movie before this one, there were 31 kills.
Okay.
So they very much so brought it to the extreme.
Okay. Over the course of 8 movies, that is excluding the Rob Zombie remakes.
For
some reason. Okay. This is we can, only 8
we'll
of
get
them.
Into it.
Michael has killed 92 people.
92. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So a third of them were killed in the last movie.
Well, you know, you gotta ramp things up to keep the audience interested, I guess.
Well, and technically in this movie, Michael Myers didn't really kill that many people.
He really did.
It's mostly Corey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he killed Deb.
Yeah.
And helped with Doug. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. So yeah, this one's mostly Corey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so speaking of analysis, should we get into our psychoanalysis?
Yes.
Which I feel like is what we should now call the feature.
Yes. Get it?
Because like
psycho analysis.
Okay, I'm gonna
take it away.
so we can do that. So here's the thing. I have to admit, I had a bit of a hard time with this because I have not seen all of the movies. I feel like in order to truly pseudo-diagnose the people in the movies, I feel like I want to know more, but I will give it my best go.
Okay.
So full disclosure to all of you sippers out there, I am not a real doctor and these are not real people. However, I am a school psychologist and I've taken some courses on psychopathology. So I'm going to just pretend to diagnose these people. We're going to go with it. So some background. When I watched the first movie, because I feel like the movie that we saw really goes back to, there's a lot of tie-ins to the very first movie. Oh, and I don't know much that happened in the middle. But in the first movie, they talk about Michael, basically, as a kid, it seems like he's normal. He has this typical family. Nothing to see here until he's 6 years old, and then he kills his sister. And that's when things start to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills his sister and then he goes into the psych ward and he doesn't talk or basically almost even move for like 15 years. And the one doctor makes some comment on when they're basically in the first movie, the doctor and some nurse are kind of transporting Michael to a trial or something. And the psychiatrist makes some sort of comment about how he's being treated with Thorazine. So that gives us a bit of a clue. So Thorazine is basically, it's an antipsychotic medication. It can be used to treat, you know, people with schizophrenia, other psychotic disorders, maybe like manic phases of, you know, bipolar disorder. So he's being treated with that. So some sort of psychotic type of features.
Fair.
I don't know. I have a few possibilities. I think possibly he has some form of selective mutism. So he didn't talk for 15 years. So selective mutism is basically where you just don't talk in certain situations. So that takes a lot of commitment to not talk to anyone for 15 years. And I don't know if either of you know, because it seemed like maybe he seemed like a typical kid up until that point. So I'm guessing before the age of 6, he did talk.
I would imagine.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Do we hear him talk in any of the other movies? Do we know?
Yes.
Does he talk? Okay.
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 Yeah, but not a lot. I think at most he like screams at someone, like screams something. Okay. He doesn't talk a lot, but we get like a couple words, I think, in one of the movies.
Yep.
So I feel like whatever is going on with him, he has some features of being catatonic. So basically where he doesn't talk, he kind of moves slow. He's just like almost kind of like a zombie. And this is, do we think he's a real person or is he the boogeyman?
Right.
Because that's really going to drive the diagnosis. Is he really a person with, you know, some illnesses, or is he just a boogeyman, a monster?
I think because they show him as a kid, he's a person, to be human.
Yeah.
And he ages, obviously, right? 15 years later, he's like a grown adult.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. So we've got maybe some features of selective mutism, maybe some features of catatonia, maybe some of voyeuristic disorder. Like it seems like he kind of gets off on watching people. So like, especially in the first movie, you can kind of see that he's watching the babysitters, he's watching his sister. And it seems like that's like a big driving force for him, is watching them, especially, especially in the first movie, he kills everybody when all their tops are off or they're engaged in some sort of sexual encounter. No, right?
It's true.
The horror movie trope of if you have sex, you're going to die.
Yeah. So, okay. There's two theories to this. The first is that he maybe had some sort of sexual abuse as a kid. And, you know, this is like this is inducing this, you know, psychosis, very aggressive, violent behavior. Or it's just, this was the 70s when, you know,
wild time.
The men that were creating the movies were like, oh, hey, boobs, violence.
Yeah, girls, take your top off.
Yeah. So it's one of the two of those things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Either is equally believable.
Yep. But yeah, so I think maybe as a kid, it seems like he was doing okay, but maybe there was some trauma in his background and then something happened to make him snap when he, you know, sees his sister in this sort of sexual type of state. And then he loses it. So he's got, you know, possibly some childhood conduct disorder that leads into antisocial personality disorder, really. But I think maybe there's some trauma that drove that.
Nice.
But it's hard to know.
Yeah, a lot of trauma, I would say, on everyone's front, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I also wonder if there's maybe something with his parents, because when they come home, when he first murders his sister, they don't seem all that invested in what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine there's probably something there.
Yeah. So maybe he's got some sort of an attachment. Well, they were very neglectful parents.
Especially because they made it very clear that with Corey, there was a lot going on with his parents. Right. And so to make him the next Michael, it would make sense that there was a lot that was going on with Michael's parents.
So I'm almost thinking with Michael, they were very absent, but then when they were there was some abuse going on there. Now, granted, we should disclaim, people with mental health disorders and diagnoses and these traumatic backgrounds are not going to go on to become Michael Myers.
I know this is just a unique situation of Michael Myers.
This is just, you know, our drunken analysis.
Yes, drunken analysis.
Halloween movies.
Now, do you have any thoughts on Corey? I'll let you like finish up, but then do you have any thoughts on Corey?
Okay, so I have one more thought that I forgot I was going to mention on Michael Myers. I also thought maybe he has dissociative identity disorder because I think he has three distinct personalities that he kind of goes in and out. So there's one, there's his, you know, kind of typical nothing to see here child personality. Then he snaps and he goes into this second personality of this very violent aggressor. And then there's also this like catatonic, doesn't speak, shows no emotion, just like for 15 years or 20 years at a time, he'll just be in the institutions and like no aggression, no nothing. So I think maybe he also has that.
Interesting.
I've just thrown the whole DSM book at him.
The whole thing.
So Corey, I think is more just like antisocial personality disorder. He's just a jerk. Like he's kind of wanting to be a copycat and he's got some mommy issues. He's got some trauma.
got some trauma in there for sure.
Mm-hmm. But definitely like got some callous traits going on there for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
That makes sense.
And then my last diagnosis of all the movies is everyone in the town, and especially Lori, they have all got some major PTSD. And rightfully
major.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah. Every one of them should be in therapy. Every one of us should be in therapy. Everyone should be in therapy. Yes. That's what I have to say.
And that's the PSA.
Yes, that's the PSA of today. Movie is have everybody take, go to therapy.
If you take nothing else from this podcast, go to therapy.
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy. Yeah. Therapy all around.
Oh my gosh. Well, I had like two more random notes for the movie. I'm wondering if you guys have any more, like just like random thoughts that you want to talk about. My first one is, and I wrote down, what year is it? They said it was 2022. It's supposed to be present day. I know that they said that. I'm not literally asking. Why are they listening to a radio station? And why does everyone hang out in a diner? And why does everyone drive old cars?
Yes.
Yeah.
I that's a thought good the exact same thing. Because I know that it's a small town. So that could maybe excuse the diner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But everyone would have been listening to Spotify.
Well, and
yes. Those cars, are you kidding? Like, I drive an old car and that's a 2010 Hyundai.
Yeah.
And okay, an 80s car is unreasonable.
My biggest complaint with the radio show, which, like, again, you could argue, oh, it's a small town, like, blah, blah, blah. In Halloween 2018, which is supposed to be the first one of this trilogy, so it is canon. It's a bunch of podcasters who go talk to Michael Myers to try to investigate it. So we know podcasts exist in the modern day,
right?
And they would be listening to a podcast.
Yes.
Why does this radio show exist?
I don't know. Just for the sake of him to die.
Ladies, I listen to the radio.
NPR doesn't count.
I do in my car. I listen
That's
to
because
radio.
You drive an old car.
So maybe they're just like me.
Yeah, maybe they just, you know, are living in the golden age.
Also, when they pan through one of the houses, there was a home phone.
Yes.
Oh, now see, that's unacceptable.
Yes.
Like, that's unacceptable. Come on.
Come on.
Get out of here.
They said it's 2022, but the entire movie, I was asking myself, what year is it really?
What year is this?
That's like that one time Brianna and I went and we watched a movie, and it wasn't until it was like an hour into the movie where we're like, oh my gosh, this movie is set in the 80s. It's not a modern day.
No, it was set in the 70s, Laura.
Oh, I thought it was the 80s.
Just, because the 70s style a few years ago was very in, and so we did not pick up on it.
No, we thought it was a modern movie, but it was actually set in the 70s.
In the 70s. And it was amazing. We were like, wow, how vintage.
Well, and some movies are like intentionally ambiguous. Like, I think I've seen movies like that where they don't say what year it is, and then the technology is like kind of weird where you can't tell what year it is. That's fine. They said what year it was in this movie.
They said what year it was, and they just refused to live in that future.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Which kept taking me out of it. Mm-hmm. My other favorite quote, I had three. I already shared two of them with you guys, but my other favorite quote was Jamie Lee Curtis as Lori when she's talking to Allison, trying to get her to go on this date. And she says, you need to find someone that can let go, that makes you want to rip off your shirt and show grief your fucking tits and say, you know what? Let's go.
Yes.
You know what? I'm inspired.
Yes. I liked that quote.
I feel like as someone that cross stitches, that could be something that I cross stitch into a nice pillow.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a sweet grandma thing to say.
It
really
is.
Really,
it is. Like, it's very inspirational.
It was very inspired by her at that point.
So, you know, at Spooky Sips, we like to rate the movie on a scale of no sips to five sips. So what do we think? Are we ready to rate Halloween Ends?
The only other thing I had for you guys was the very quick breakdown of all 13 movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's
That's
do it.
That's the only other thing I had for you guys, which, and this is a horrible version of it. I'm going to do like the very, very quick, just
do
in case you were curious.
You can.
This is the worst that I can.
Yes. Please, it takes make up this terrible
less than a page, which, you know, it was forced to be 13 lines. So that lets you know how little detail is in my documents. Yes. So the first one happened. We've all watched it. I'm not going to talk about the summary. Right. Mm-hmm. Then 3 years after, I'm going to talk about it in the order it was released in theater, because that's just easier.
Yep.
So 1978 was the original. 3 years later, we get Halloween 2. And that is an immediate sequel, like immediately after Laurie's in the hospital, like it is still Halloween night. The biggest takeaway from this one is we find out that actually Laurie is Michael's sister. So that's why he's been chasing after her. That's the big twist that we get in Halloween 2.
Oh shit, I fell asleep and I didn't catch that part. Yeah.
So that was Halloween 2.
I asked that and I was told I was wrong.
So that's no longer canon. Okay. So she's not anymore. But technically in that movie, that's the big twist we get. Okay. And then a year later, we get Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which was a great attempt. John Carpenter's original idea was this should not be about Michael Myers and Laurie. This is about Halloween night. Michael Myers, Laurie, none of that is in Halloween 3. Halloween 3 is completely different, completely different town. It's about a bunch of like haunted masks that a bunch of children buy. Completely different.
Okay.
They never do that again. Halloween 4 is aptly named The Return of Michael Myers because they said, hey, Halloween 3 bombed. Let's bring back Michael Myers.
Give the people what they want. Yep.
So then we get Halloween 4, 5, and 6. Paul Rudd is in that one for whatever reason. Nice. He's Tommy, the kid that Laurie was babysitting, who's now all grown up. We get a bunch of lore into Michael Myers, and we find out that he was actually cursed. And that's why he is the way that he is. Jamie Lee Curtis is not in this one. In this one, we get Laurie's daughter, whose name I didn't even write down. I think it might be Jamie. I don't know. I'm just making that up. So that follows that one. It gets super confusing. So then in 1998, they came out with the worst named movie I've ever heard, Halloween H2O, which does not take place in water. It's just because it's 20 years later after the original. I
remember that coming out.
I remember that as well. I didn't see it.
So that one says, let's ignore Halloween's 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're just going to assume that only Halloween's 1 and 2 has happened. Mm-hmm. We get Jamie Lee Curtis back. And this is basically supposed to be like a sequel to Halloween 2. So like kind of like the third movie from the original timeline. At the very end, Laurie decapitates Michael Myers. So for the first time, we get Michael Myers dying.
Okay.
Then 4 years later in 2002, we get Halloween Resurrection, where they say, JK, she decapitated someone else and he's alive. Oh, it was someone else in his mask.
Classic. Now they're going to tell us it was someone else that went to the meat grinder in this
You know, if that doesn't spoil anything, I don't know what does. Halloween Resurrection is you really just try to follow up on the success of things like the Blair Witch found footage, because you get a bunch of college students, including Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks, that are staying at Michael Myers' house in order to investigate the supernatural.
Tyra!
Michael Myers returns, and then he kills Laurie because she kind of starts to doubt herself about whether or not she should kill him, because she's all like sad that she killed the wrong person in the last movie. So now she dies and then he tosses her off a roof, similar to the first one. 2007, they said, you know what? Scrap that. We're remaking everything.
Oh my God.
So Halloween 2007 is a remake of the original Halloween movie titled Halloween.
Is that the Rob Zombie one?
Yeah, these must be the Rob Zombie ones.
Okay. So these are the Rob Zombie. Yes. Then 2 years later, they said, you know what? That failed, but we're going to keep going. Halloween 2 was then released, which was again a continuation of the remake. And then in 2018, we get another movie once again titled Halloween, even though it's a sequel to the first movie. So it is no longer canon that Laurie and Michael are brother and sister.
So they just redid.
It ignores movies 2 through, I can't even count, all of them. Except
all of the rest.
The first one.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yes.
I love this. Yes.
So Halloween, we always get the return of Michael Myers, Jamie Lee Curtis. She, at the end of the movie, supposedly sets the house on fire with him in it. You think maybe he's dead. Halloween Kills. No, he's not. We actually don't see Laurie and Michael Myers interact at all because she's in the hospital the whole time. And now we get to Halloween Ends.
Oh my.
Wow. Oh, that was well a confusing done.
Journey.
That was a confusing yes. journey. I really am glad that we went on it together.
But I think you wrapped it up. You surmised yep. it very well.
Yes. You did. You, you really did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was going insane reading the descriptions to this.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think that's the point. I think this is all a social experiment.
Yes.
And one day the motive will be revealed.
I was trying to like look back at my notes and I was like, when was Busta Rhymes in the movie?
Tyra, what are you doing to us, Tyra Banks? Tyra!
Oh, so good.
All so right. There's your very quick and probably bad summary that of all 13 fantastic. Movies.
Love it. So good.
All right. So on this very spooky Halloween night, readers.
We haven't talked about that. If you're listening to this on the day it's released,
happy Halloween.
You're celebrating the best holiday ever.
You are. Happy it Halloween. Is our favorite holiday here on Spooky Sips, and we hope that you're enjoying on this very spooky night. Spooky. All right, so let's get to our sips. Out of 5 sips, ladies, how many sips would you give this movie? I'll go first. I've got to say, I will give it 1.5 sips.
Okay.
I can't give it 2 because I think I've given other movies 2 and this isn't even that good, but I'm going to say 1.5.
Okay, yeah. I have to say, I'm going to treat, this one like I would a Chardonnay. I'm going to give it a sip and then a little scotch more, but that's yeah, it. Sipping a scotch. That's all I can handle of it.
With your sips, though, would you recommend people watch it?
If you're into the Halloween movies, like if you've seen the others or even seen the first, because as someone that only saw the first, yes, I would. I'd say that it's worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I don't know.
You know what? I feel like there's a lot better movies out there. So I think definitely see the first one. I think this one is great for the nostalgia of it, but I will never watch it again. Yeah. I have no desire to ever watch it again. So I don't think I would really recommend seeing it actually.
Yeah. But, yeah. I think this movie gets a worse rap. And again, we're watching this, I guess we should mention, we're watching this 2 days after the release. So we're watching it like the weekend that it comes out, and the reviews for it are pretty bad. I did see the reviews. I think it's worse than it deserves. I think it has some redeeming qualities. It's the 13th Halloween movie. You can't go into it expecting some cinematic experience. It's Halloween. It's the 13th one.
Mm-hmm.
If you like me are married to someone who hates horror movies, you should go watch it with them because Matt came out of this movie theater saying that was my favorite movie.
Yes.
Okay. So for that reason and the incredible score in the first 15 minutes, I think it deserves a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Fair. Yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. I think that's respectable.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Well, great.
So we wish you all a very happy Halloween here from Spooky Sips. We hope that you've had just the most fantastic Halloween you ever have.
Okay, so next time we will be watching American Mary circa 2012. So if you haven't seen it yet, get watching.
If you're going to watch that along with us, get watching and get sipping.
Get sipping.
Get sipping.
Sipping
and sipping. Next movie we will recommend a soup and a cocktail.
Soup and a cocktail. Just
sipping and sipping.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spooky Sips. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe, and leave a rating or review wherever you're listening. To stay up to date on all the spooky things we're up to, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at spookysips_podcast. Thanks again for listening. See you in 2 weeks for a new episode.